You know, we've been talking about when God speaks to us, and we're going to continue in that. And I'm not going to be able to get very far, but I want to just share with you something that I read. This is something that I actually shared with the football team Friday morning. And it was just such an impacting story, and it's a true story. But I read a while back about a terrible accident that happened with a young man, and it was not very far from his high school. And his parents were called, and they arrived on the scene, and it was just a horrible scene. As they arrive, they see this large pool of blood where their son had just lost his life. And their first reaction, as you can only imagine, their first reaction was, you know, they had to jump out of the car, had to try to do something. The mother's first reaction was to, you know, she said, I just wanted to somehow collect that blood. She understood the value of his blood. It was his life. And here it is poured out all over this filthy street. And she said, I just wanted to somehow collect it and put it back in his body. I knew that was impossible. And so her heart was absolutely broken, and she just didn't know how else to react. The husband, his first reaction, he said, and they're telling this story later, his first reaction was he gets on the scene, and of course they're doing what they can to try to get traffic to go around and so on, but his blood was on the road and the cars were just driving right through the blood, going about doing what it is that they had to do that day without even a thought of the fact that they're driving through this boy's blood. And he said his heart just felt like it was being ripped out of his chest. And so he ran out to the scene, and he took his coat off and he threw it over his son's blood and began to cover it to try to protect it, as he began to holler at the drivers, you will not just drive through my son's blood. You will not just drive through my son's blood. And he said he was completely overwhelmed with emotion, anger and grief and all of those things that come with it. And those parents said that through that horrific experience, they understood for the first time how God the Father must feel. For the first time, they understood that the blood of his son was the most valuable and precious thing that he could give. It was the highest price that he could pay to redeem us. And yet many lived their lives as though it never happened. Many lived their lives like those people who were just driving right through their son's blood without even giving it a thought. Boy, I tell you, that spoke to me when I read that. And I know it spoke to those young men too. So I wanted to share that with you today. Hopefully it'll speak to some hearts today. Now let's get into this message. Understand that in this time we've been talking about, you know, I've been telling people, keep your eyes on what's going on in Israel. Don't be blindsided here. This is important. This is a world event right now. I mean, it could spark and it could go all kinds of directions right now. Now is not the time to be getting caught up in any little offense or any little thing that really means nothing in the light of eternity. Now is the time to get our eyes set on Christ like we're supposed to and find out, Lord, with the time we have left, what do you want me to do? How can I make an eternal difference wherever it is you have me? God, I just don't want to waste my time. And so we need to be able to hear from God. We need to be able to hear from him clearly. And so we've been talking about this, and how do we know when God is speaking? And we said that when God is speaking, there are several things that are important that we need to know. We need to test what we hear. Don't just assume that what you're hearing is God. You need to test it. And we said that it will always honor Christ when God speaks. And I'm going to just quickly run through this. Secondly, we said that when God speaks to us, it'll always be consistent with his word. Thirdly, we said when God speaks to us, it'll many times conflict with human wisdom and the human will. It'll be sometimes things like when God told me, yeah, I want you to pastor a church. Well, that conflicted with the human will, and it conflicted with human wisdom as far as my wisdom, because I didn't think I could do it, for one thing. And then we said that when God speaks, it'll challenge your faith always, because God's always looking to get our faith in action, right? And then we said, number five, when God speaks to us, it will find confirmation with spiritually mature people in your life. And that's an important one, because we don't want to just jump up and run and go do something really stupid and mess our life up. I believe that there should be confirmation, and God has spiritually mature people that he has made available to all of us that we go to and get confirmation on things. And I'll tell you, you could save yourself a lot of trouble doing that. And then we said the second main point was that when God speaks to us, that some will receive it. And when they receive it, it will, number one, it will produce good fruit. when they receive it, it will produce good fruit. And we know that the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God is looking for in our life. It's really the character of Christ, and we call it the fruit of the Spirit. When I receive a word and apply it to my life, it's going to produce good fruit. It's going to produce life, okay? And then we got kind of got started on this part last week, but that, oh, it'll also bring peace to our spirits. So 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." And we talked about the fact that that word peace literally means prosperity, quietness, rest, and sets us at one again. It is the opposite of confusion. Confusion, the word confusion, and that's what the scripture says. He's not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. The word confusion literally is the opposite of peace. When you break that word down, con means against. Fusion means united or melted together to make one. So confusion does the opposite of making us one. Confusion brings disunity. It brings division. It tears our life to pieces. And so God wants to give us peace. And as he gives us peace, what he really wants to do is put things back together again. Amen. And when we receive his word and apply it, there is peace. So the devil likes to bring confusion into every area he can. Marriage is one of those. Why does he do that? So he can break it apart. The devil loves to use confusion. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." But then James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." John 14:26-27 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things that bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace," that's that same word, it's the Greek word eirene, "my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Now, there's another place where Jesus says, understand that in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. So the cheer is really the joy that he provides, but then he also says, I give you peace, all right? So it has been made available, but you've got to take hold of it by faith, just like anything else we get from God. When I'm in a situation where it seems like confusion wants to set in, I have to, by faith, just like I do for healing or anything else, by faith say, Lord, I know this confusion isn't coming from you. I know that you said you give me peace instead. So I reject this confusion and I invite your peace to come in and put the pieces back together. I invite you to come in and prosper me as spirit, soul, and body, God. See, we got to, by faith, take a hold of it. And so Isaiah chapter 55 verse 12a says, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace." Isaiah 32:17, "And the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever." And listen, peace is not, it's not just feeling happy because you're getting your way. And it's important that we understand that, because I've talked to people over the years that were about to make a really dumb decision. And I'd say, "Do you have a peace about that from the Lord?" "Oh yeah, I feel peace. I feel peace about it." But I could tell that what they're feeling instead is they want what they want, and the thought that they're going to get what they want makes them feel good. It causes a little bit of a chemical reaction. It's an endorphin chase, right? Anybody know what an endorphin is? That's them little chemicals in your body that make you feel good, right? And so it's not peace they're feeling that comes from the Lord. It's endorphins in anticipation of, "I'm going to get what I want." You better know the difference. So real peace comes when you don't get your way, but God gets his way. Now, I'm going to say that again because most of y'all missed that. Real peace doesn't come when you get your way. Real peace comes when God gets his way. There's a huge difference. There can be no true peace apart from that. And so when we rightly discern God's voice, we're like the old boat captain who was asked to explain how the wind works. His response was this. He said, "I don't know about the wind. I can't control its direction, but I do know how to hoist and direct the sail and use the rudder to get where I need to go. So listen, as the wind of the Spirit blows, and as we get direction from God on how to hoist and direct the sail and use the rudder, that wind will bring us right into the fulfillment of our God-given destiny. Now, here's the thing about, if you understand sailing at all, you know, the wind doesn't have to go the way you initially thought you wanted it to go. But you can learn, you can get skilled, and no matter how that wind's blowing, how to use it to your advantage to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in your life. Because whether it's a positive wind or it's an adverse wind, God can give you direction how to set your life sail, how to set your rudder for this thing, even though it looks like it wants to take you backwards. God can make it to where that thing will propel you right where He needs to get you. It's kind of like, you know, when you think about the fact that it took a Goliath to propel David into his destiny as a king, right? Now, in the natural, I don't want to face no Goliath. Am I right? But in the spiritual, sometimes God will set you up just so that He can work in and through you to raise you up and exalt you because you've humbled yourself to obey God. So I don't believe David was filled with pride in that moment when he ran out there telling that giant, you about to lose your head, buddy, right? It wasn't pride. It was confidence in the Lord. You've defied God Himself, and He's going to take you down, and He's going to do it through this little old rock and this little old sling. So the wind will bring us right into the fulfillment of our God-given destiny. There will be plenty of good adventures if we keep our sails up and our rudders in the water under the direction of the captain of our salvation. Understand, the more you seek Him, the more you know Him. The more you seek Him, the more you know Him. And the more you know Him, the easier it is to hear His voice when He speaks to you. I had a guy tell me the other day, I've had this happen on more than one occasion. This happened just the other day. Someone said, "You're on the radio somewhere, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, actually I am." He said, "I knew it. I knew the voice. I knew the voice from hearing it on the radio." Now that's amazing. So how did he know my voice? Because he listened to it a lot, right? The more I seek the Lord, the more I listen to Him, the more I know Him, the more I recognize that voice where I can pick it out of a crowd, right? If you're a child, if you're a parent and you have a child, you can be in a crowd and it could be a noisy crowd. But if you hear your own child holler out your name or even say something, even if they're hollering help or something, you recognize that voice, right? Because you know them. God wants us to be so familiar with His voice that we recognize it no matter how much is going on around us, how many other voices are screaming at us. He wants us to be able to recognize His voice. Amen? And so when God speaks to us and it is received and it is put into practice, it will bring about a supernatural peace that passes understanding. Now, I want to throw this next one at you because it's short. Number three, it shall accomplish and succeed in that which He purposes. When God speaks to us and we put it into practice, it shall accomplish and succeed in that which He purposes. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 through 11. I love this scripture. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." He expects His word to be received and put into practice and returned back to Him when He sends it. Now, I've taught on this before, but I want to bring this picture to you in case you haven't heard this before. Lord, I believe the Lord revealed this to me. It's been several years now, how everything works in the kingdom, how healing works, prayer works. First off, in order for my prayer to work, it's got to be prayed according to the will of God, okay? Anything we ask according to His will, He hears it and we have it, right? Anything not prayed according to His will, He doesn't even hear. So I've often said, God never says no to prayers. He only says yes. It's yes and amen with God. He never says no. I hear people preach that all the time. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says later. No, He says yes and amen. Now, there are times when the yes and amen comes a little later, but He never says no to a prayer that He hears because He never even hears a prayer that's not in accordance with His will. That's Bible. That's what the scripture teaches. But when I get a word from God and I take it in, and by faith I say, God, I trust you, I believe you, even when my brain is screaming, this is impossible, and I'm going to speak that word now out of my mouth. I catch it with my spirit. I renew my mind with it. I speak it out of my mouth and send that word back to heaven. That's why I say it's not about asking God for stuff. It's about coming into agreement with what he said and bring that back to him. And when we do that, it's like a cycle. It's like the rain cycle. It comes down and it goes back up. But when it goes back up, when his word returns back to him, it's like a power connection. It's like an electrical circuit that gets closed where electricity can flow through it. It's a connection. And that's when we see the supernatural and the miraculous. It shall accomplish and succeed in that which he purposes for those who will receive it and apply it. But listen, again, let's pray. Let's tune our ear to the Lord. Let's not go through life ignoring what he did for us. Let's not drive through the blood of God's son as though it's not there. Let's remember that we have a calling, that God has a purpose in our life. It's an eternal purpose that goes beyond anything that we could pursue in this world for gain. So let's go before the Lord, and we're just going to pray. Again, Lord, help us hear clearly. Father, help us to tune our ear to you, God. Help us to hear what you are saying. Help us to apply your word to our life in a way, Father God, that makes a difference, not only in our lives, not only in our families, but Father, those around us, the circle of influence that you've given us, Father God. We're on this earth for an eternal purpose, and Father, we don't want to miss it. God, I pray, help us to open our spiritual ears to hear from you, to know what you're saying at any given moment, Father, and have the audacity to obey you and to follow you, even when it makes no rational sense to our brain, Father God. Lord, we want to devour your word and know your word, Father God, and know that when we're being spoken to, God, that you will always agree with your word. So, Father, I ask again, as you're bringing us in and through this, and in this time we live in, help us to hear your voice clearly. Lord, we declare before you like Jesus did. Lord, it's not our will, but it's your will that we want done. So, Father, in our lives, we say, not our will, but your will be done. Lord, help us to take every step according to your will, every decision according to your will, everything we say, like Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Father, we want to emulate that. We want our life to emulate Jesus. And so, Lord, I thank you. You're not holding back from us. Lord, you want us to hear from you. You want that relationship, that close, bonded relationship. And so, Father, we say yes to you today. And we say, Lord, speak to us this week, throughout the week. Help us to tune our ear to your instruction so that every step we take will honor you. Everything we say will honor you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement, why don't you shout amen.